much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. Gentlemen, you've taken me by surprise. I must say that I'm not prepared to put the show back on.
Oh, it won't take much preparation. We've already got the staff back.
How can I clarify this? I don't want to put the show back on.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, it's Friday.
Hey, I'm Rodney. You're Friday.
Hey, it's Rodney Bingenheimer here, winding down another week of great flashback. Well, that's Richard's show. Man, what am I doing? Am I doing the flashback show or what?
Pot is a gateway drug. If you start smoking marijuana, next you will be doing energy drink enemas and having sex with various marsupials, including kangaroos, but not limited to wombats.
You know, the best thing for a hangover is weed. Do you smoke weed?
Not really.
You don't?
No.
At all?
No, I just don't.
You know, it is like the best medicine.
Because it fixes everything.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You see that? I mean, there's no penetration at all.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You know what? I love bananas.
Roll up.
Attractive voice.
This one seems to be about to quit.
You have a major case of the
horns. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Thanks, Kevin Bean. Fire beer mug.
Roll.
Well, that's another way to play it.
This one seems to be about sense.
I don't even know what to say about this.
I don't have another cent.
You're a slut. You're a slut. You're a slut. You're a slut. Everybody should know.
Why do you have to hate what you don't understand?
Just pass it around.
Now, God, what do you need him for?
And now,
are we going to start?
I think that's a good start. I'm happy with that.
Our feature presentation
from another day at this time. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is 5:37. It's Friday morning.
Yay.
How come this ice cream truck was never in my neighborhood when I was growing up? El Paso, Texas is where this happened. Police saw an ice cream truck with a cracked windshield, and then they checked its registration sticker, and it was out of date, so they pulled it over. And they smelled weed, oddly enough.
It was ice cream truck guy with weed.
With weed, yeah. Right near high school, turns out. Yeah. Nice, lovely purple paint job on the ice cream truck.
Kids like purple?
I guess. I don't know. had a couple of Tupperware bowls, quote, containing a green leafy substance in their ice cream truck. And this is a 19-year-old and a 29-year-old. The 29-year-old had been busted for dealing drugs and for having marijuana one time before.
Look, if you find a business that you enjoy,
correct,
you should stick with it.
Don't let people tell you that it's not a good idea.
Right.
If you find your purpose in life, you need to continue to do that thing. And so they were from an ice cream truck.
Listen, think of what a good 1-2 punch that is. You smoke the weed. You want ice cream, right?
Right.
They have
they're providing everything you need. Maybe they had pillows. I don't know. For a nap.
They come for breakfast. They come for lunch. Right. They come for dinner.
That's a perfect situation.
I think so.
I think they should have been given an award.
An award, yes.
Right. But they
Keeps
never
kids
are.
Kids in school.
When I run things, things are going to be very different.
I'm sure.
Let's talk about this morning's Kevin and Bean show. We're going to talk to people who created an app.
That looks really hard to me.
There are millions of,
yes,
apps. I mean, it seems absurd how many you have to choose from. And they seem to churn them out every day, but from everything we've heard, it's a much more complex situation than you would expect.
I read an article about a guy that did it, and it took him 3 years to do it. And it sounds like he was pretty smart, and the people he had, and they got people overseas to write code and all. I mean, it was nuts. So he wrote a whole article about don't
little
make
kids
these
in China
mistakes.
Writing code.
Yeah, right.
So we'll talk about that today. We have some new music from Gillionaire. I don't know if you remember I'm the Best. I'm the Best. I'm the Best.
Yes.
This guy has two new songs, Super Pretty and Birthday. So we're going to play those for you coming up this morning. We also had the movie beat because it is Friday. Bill Belichick is back in the news for going on his girlfriend's Twitter to answer questions from fans.
Oh, great.
Comedian Bill Burr will be in the studio.
Oh, he's always funny.
One of our favorites and headlining April Foolishness. Very excited about that. And we've got your tickets for April Foolishness as well coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We will take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next. Ralph Garman is here for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning.
Why not? This is America. Good news. Ed Asner is out of the hospital.
Oh, that is good. I was very worried.
I was worried. I love Lou Grant.
Me too.
My childhood is dying in front of my eyes every day on the front page of some newspaper. Someone else I loved on television's croaking.
That's what happens when you're stuck in the 60s, like in TV shows.
Can't take it, man. Can't take it. I need my TV idols to live forever.
Yeah.
Ed apparently is flying home here to Los Angeles to rest. His agent said he's had to cancel his upcoming performances of his one-man show, FDR, that he had planned for Milwaukee and Tennessee. But apparently he's doing much better and all is well. But there's a catch. Catch! There's no catch! Sorry, I can't help but love that commercial. Meanwhile, the saddest news is that Chelsea Handler is healthy.
That your news?
Was there a scare?
No, there. I wish there would be.
Oh.
Ed Asner can go to the hospital. Can't she go in the hospital and not come out?
I don't know.
She was in Aspen, Colorado, according to the New York Post, upsetting people at a restaurant there when she and her girlfriend started throwing bread at a group of businessmen in their 60s.
All right.
Nothing funnier than when you're trying to have a business meeting like a person and some unfunny bitch is throwing bread at you. I would just get up from the table, I'd go, excuse me, Miss Handler, and then I would punch her square in the face and then say, take me away, boys. I'd do it again in a minute. I'll do hard time. Yeah, she's horrible. You know, it's not horrible. That Jennifer Aniston. Have your cell phone ready, people. Word is, she could be mere hours away from tying the knot with her boyfriend, Justin Theroux. It's going to happen. It's going to happen now.
Why do I need my cell phone ready?
Because they have informed their friends and relatives that the wedding will be a surprise.
Okay.
Be prepared to drop everything to attend the wedding, say sources.
I'm sure that's to baffle the paparazzi,
yes,
right? But
get the press and paparazzi off kilter. They have alerted their friends and relatives, just have your cell phone ready. And then we'll go, 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 code green, code green, code green. And they'll all run out there and get married real quick.
If I'm eating, I look at my cell phone and go, bad time for me.
Oh, Kevin, you don't want to miss Jennifer Aniston's wedding.
I think I'd be all right.
Oh, come on.
Even if a friend did that to me, I think I would be just inclined to not go just because it's so inconsiderate.
Sorry, Jen. Kevin won't
not
be
coming.
Showing up.
Sorry.
Sounds like he's too busy for
I may not
wedding.
Even have my phone on.
Yeah, Kevin might be busy setting up fireworks or
good stuff.
Putting DVDs in his back seat so he can't come to your wedding. No, I'm sorry.
Going to be playing blackjack tonight, so if she's having her wedding tonight,
well, you'll have
it.
Plenty of time because once you're out after that first round, then you can go
How
to the wedding.
Dare you, sir.
Justin Bieber's just couldn't be a bigger dick.
I know.
He
used to be able to hide it more. Now he's just out there being a dick for everybody to see.
His dickosity is increasing exponentially.
I love it.
Yesterday, posts a message on Instagram saying, I'm tired of all the countless lies in the press right now.
Lies.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. Apparently there were some stories that he's in rehab. He's not in rehab, he says. Here's the best part. He says that people are talking about him because they're jealous.
Oh, yes.
I'm 19, and it must be scary to some people to think that this is just the beginning. Oh, son.
That is exactly what we want him thinking.
You are just asking for the fickle finger of fate to come down and just flick you off the planet.
Please keep that exact mindset.
And then for no reason, he just took a massive shot at Lindsay Lohan, saying, I'm not Lindsay Lohan, and if you want proof, look at my 2012 tax statements.
Oh, snap.
Really?
See what he did? He dropped the earnings bomb there. Dropped the life savings bomb on you.
Love it. Cursing himself.
Why don't you shut up for about a week?
So basically he's saying he doesn't deserve negative press because he's so awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. You can be awesome and still people can hate you. That exists.
And I'm sure there was also a time when Corey Feldman said, I'm 19 and this is just the beginning, when he was starring in Lost Boys or whatever. I'm sure Lindsay Lohan thought, I'm 19. This is just the beginning when I'm starring in Mean Girls.
That list is long.
Yeah. You keep going. You keep going, son. Couldn't make me happier. Cannot wait for the final act. This weekend, some programming notes. Do not miss it.
This weekend.
HBO Sunday night. Phil Spector starring Al Pacino.
Oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait either.
Great.
Pacino in that giant wig in the courtroom, playing, of course, the legendary film producer, music producer, who was arrested and then convicted for the murder of actress Lana Clarkson. Jeffrey Tambor plays one of his lawyers, along with Helen Mirren. Just looks
pretty
awesome.
Good cast.
Just looks awesome. Yeah, great cast. And Jeffrey Tambor, it's so funny. He and Al Pacino starred years ago in that movie, And Justice for All, where they both played lawyers. Remember? You're out of order. Oh, this whole courtroom's out of order. They were in that film together. And this news, TV news, disturbs me and worries me and is giving me a little bit of indigestion.
Oh.
New CBS drama has been ordered, a pilot for a series called The Advocates, starring Mandy Moore.
Okay.
Who I think is a pretty good actress.
All right.
She plays a lawyer who works for victims of crimes, along with an ex-con, played by Ben McKenzie. Now, Ben McKenzie already has a job, CBS, so why don't you just back the F off?
Is it possible to do both?
You better be. Oh, if my Southland goes away, hell will come raining down upon the people responsible.
What will that look like?
It just hell. Imagine hell, then imagine it just raining down on
All right.
I'm not effing around. This season, Southland may be one of, if not the best shows on television. It is so relentlessly awesome every week. It's just lean, and there's not a down moment in that show. Everything matters that you watch in that hour of television. It's remarkable.
You do get the idea when you love a show that they...
A little bit of indigestion.
Oh.
New CBS drama has been ordered, a pilot for a series called The Advocates, starring Mandy Moore.
Okay.
Who I think is a pretty good actress.
All right.
She plays a lawyer who works for victims of crimes, along with an ex-con, played by Ben McKenzie. Now, Ben McKenzie already has a job, CBS, so why don't you just back the F off?
Is it possible to do both?
You better be. Oh, if my Southland goes away... Hell will come raining down upon the people responsible.
What will that look like?
Just hell. Imagine hell, then imagine it just raining down on
All
you.
All right.
I'm not effing around. This season, Southland may be one of, if not the best shows on television. It is so relentlessly awesome every week. It's just lean, and there's not a down moment in that show. Everything matters that you watch in that hour of television. It's remarkable.
You do get the idea when you love a show that they can't keep up this pace. Whew. It's just not possible.
But they do, week in and week out. The scripts and the acting on that show are brilliant. Boy, it's been good this season. So don't you do it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Dee Snider of Twisted Sister is 58 years old today. Fabio, a gus hit me in the face. He's 54. Terrence Trent D'Arby is 51. I remember when Terrence Trent D'Arby said, you're all just jealous because I'm 19 and this is just the beginning.
It's only the beginning for me.
Singer Rockwell's 49. I remember when Rockwell said, you're all jealous because I'm 23 and this is just the beginning. Bret Michaels of Poison is 50. Mark McGrath is 45. Mark Hoppus, our buddy from Blink 182, turns 41. Eva Longoria from Desperate Housewives fame is 38 years old. Will.i.am is also 38 today. DJ Joseph Hahn of Linkin Park turns 36. And Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood, celebrates his 34th birthday today. Happy birthday, Psycho Mike. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
We have comedian Bill Burr from April Foolishness coming in 7 o'clock hour, along with your chance to win tickets. We have the movie beat coming up. First, though, if you go to KROQ.com, the Kevin and Bean page, you can see Gillionaire, who is one of our favorites. You might remember the song that he first did that caught our attention, which is I'm the Best.
That's a great song.
He He is averse to using any letter after the letter S. So if it's spelled best, he says Bess.
Mm-hmm.
If it's spelled birthday, which we'll get to later, there's an S there. He loves his S's. Here's the original.
I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm the best. Standing on a car, finger in the air. With some women's, with my fingers in their head. Sweat, 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 sweat. Yes, I be the one that wins Street Fighter tournaments. Make $1 million without even earning it.
Yeah, he's made $1 million. You look at him and you go, yeah, that's funny. It could be the worst videos ever made, which is a pretty tough category.
And that means it turns right around to best.
Exactly. They are terrible. They're bad. But he's got two new ones, which I'm very excited about. I don't know if you remember Rifle Burst. Remember that song, Rifle Burst?
No, not really.
He takes off his shirt so you can see the rifles.
Oh, yeah.
Burst?
Yeah, yeah.
With an S?
Yes.
Taking off our shirts, about to make these rifles burst. Burst, 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 swag, burst, 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 swag. Hold my money, money, pockets too heavy, heavy, Ninja Turtle swag,
swag.
Bebop rock steady, steady, bebop rock steady, bebop rock steady.
So there's a guy someplace that listens to that back and then goes, that's it, that's the take, that's the one, I like that. So you can see both the video for I'm the Best and Rifle Bursts. And Dem Pants also is up there. He's got a new one now called Super Pretty. Super Pretty. He's okay. Super Pretty.
Super Pretty.
Swag car.
Super Pretty.
Swag car.
I could just die.
So super pretty, seeing me is dangerous. You have to rip your eyes out like you Oedipus. So is it eat a and that's going with eat a I only read that story because his name was eat a It's like I'm floating on a cloud when I enter the room.
All right, so take that music and mm-hmm. how offensive that is to your ears and multiply it by 10 and then watch the video.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
All right.
I mean, it would be hard to sit down and make a video that bad. It really would. But all of those pair in comparison to his newest song, Gillionaire's Happy Birthday. B-U-R-S-D-A-Y.
Birthday.
Yeah, and he explains on there in semi-English that all of his friends are trying to make him – he should really appreciate and make a big deal out of his birthday. So he's decided to do that.
Birthday. It's my candle-blowing birthday.
It's my candle blowing birthday.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Birthday.
It was so strong the first time, it's going to repeat.
It's my candle blowing birthday.
I'm not buying this, by the way. I don't think it's real.
No.
I don't think it's. I think it's somebody trying to be funny by doing this. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
I'm watching it right now.
It's impossible to tell if it's real or not.
Yeah.
With most videos online, you don't know. If I was a betting man, which I am. You know.
You mean if he truly thinks this is good?
Yes.
You don't think that he really thinks that?
I doubt it. And I've been around.
This, I don't know how he could.
I've been around a lot of people that. Armenian comedian.
Right.
Think they're. Do believe it. Really do believe that they have the talent. So they exist, but I'm not sure this guy's one of them. He may be.
I'm the best. I'm glistening. Y'all bought me snacks. My rifle's bursting. They putting cash on my clothes with a safety pin. They putting dollars on my shirt with a safety pin. Birthday.
Tour de force, right?
You know, the other one was kind of fun. This is just bad.
It is just bad, yeah. But the video is so sweet. It really needs the video, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's my candle blowing birthday.
Hopefully we get to the part soon where he starts saying it. If you don't sing, you can't have any cake.
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake. If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake.
If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake. If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake.
You can't dance to that much.
Are you rocking out?
You can't dance to that music.
Got a good groove.
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake. If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake.
Anyway,
if you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake.
You can't swag, you can't have no birthday cake.
All right, well, then I better swag.
Check out the videos at krock.com, kevinandbean.com. Either one. Have we heard enough of Happy Birthday?
Yes, I believe we have.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're not going to wake up during that song, are you?
No, that's definitely a snoozer. You hit the snooze button again when that comes on.
Yeah. Hey, wake up! Morning,
play that song. Get people up.
It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:23. It's Friday morning. That means it's time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Interesting mixed bag of films opening up in Cineplexes this weekend for your movie-going enjoyment. Here's what you have to choose from. In limited release, a fascinating-looking film that has one of the lamest ideas I've ever heard. It's called Upside Down, directed by a visual savant named Juan Solanas. And what he's done is he created a world where there's these twin planets that live right on top of each other with completely different laws of gravity.
Okay.
So if you're standing on one planet, like on a mountaintop, and you look up, there's another guy on a mountaintop of another planet looking down at you. You know what I'm saying? So they're upside down.
Is he like your doppelganger?
No, they're different people, but okay. you're upside down to him and he's upside down to you. If you look up in the sky, you see other people looking up at you from their other planet.
Hmm.
Okay.
You dig?
I'm with you so far. It doesn't sound like a movie.
Well, it is when there's two people who are in love. On the different planets. And you're not supposed to cross the planets. No. You're not supposed to go to their planet. You're not supposed to go to their planet.
Nope.
It's like the Capulets and the Montagues. It's Romeo and Juliet, but they're upside down. That's, I'm sure, how they pitched it.
Nope.
Our star-crossed lovers are Jim Sturgess and Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, it just gets better.
Jim Sturgess, excellent actor. Kirsten Dunst comes from a planet, apparently, where they also don't have orthodontia. This is the premise. They fall in love with teenagers, and they're doomed to live in these twinned worlds that gravities pull in opposite directions. 10 years after their forced separation, Adam, Jim Sturgess, goes out on a dangerous quest to reconnect with his girlfriend. But if you go to that other world, you're a dead man, say the powers that be on his world. And he's got to put on weight so he can jump up and side down and be in the world.
That's not true.
And everything is just...
You're making this up.
Everything is designed just to show you scenes of people looking up at each other. And, like, look, they're walking on the ceiling and vice versa. And it looks very visually interesting, but I got bored about 30 seconds into the trailer. Here's a scene...
But they fell in love, Ralph.
Here's a scene from the movie where Kirsten Dunst is discussing her memory loss, her loss of memory... regarding her relationship in this group therapy session on her upside-down world.
I had an accident when I was a teenager. Everything before that is gone. Sometimes things come back to me in dreams, but I'm never sure if they're real or if I'm making them up. It's frustrating. You know, I know that whatever's missing, it's in there. But it scares me. Mostly, it just feels like something's missing.
It's your upside-down boyfriend!
Nope.
Yeah. You know what scares me, Kirsten Dunst? This film. Also opening up this weekend, The Call. Finally. Finally, some realism. Finally, we're grounded in some realism with The Call. Halle Berry plays a 911 operator who receives a call from a girl who's been abducted, and she decides to take on the kidnapper herself. Yes, like every 911 operator, she straps on some weapons and springs into action as a crime fighter. Finally, a little touch of realism in this weekend's movies.
Ralph was yelling about this for an hour yesterday off the
air. It looks good. I think it's a good movie. I want to see it. It looks fascinating and good to me.
Oh, the way you say it doesn't sound good.
Yeah. Are they run out of other professions to get people to be crime fighters from? They're down to 911 operators. Look, they do the Lord's work. Don't get me wrong. Any 911 operators out there, you have my thanks and my appreciation for
this
your hard
killer
work.
Is focusing on her, though, Ralph. That's what you're missing.
And she drops the headset and picks up a Glock because she's the caller.
Not the caller.
She's the operator.
Right.
They should have called this the operator. She operates in more than one way. Here's a scene where a kidnapped girl calls 911 operator, soon to be justice fighter, Halle Berry.
911, where's your emergency?
Please, I don't want to die.
What's your name?
Casey!
I'm in the trunk! I'm like in the trunk!
We are gonna find you, okay, honey?
Can you see the taillights?
Yeah, I see it.
Is there any way you can
break it out? I need you to stick your arm out and
wave it.
Okay?
911, what's your emergency?
Someone's stuck in the trunk of the car in front of me.
Yo, I got him!
Yeah. She's the born operator. But she is. All right, find the taillights. All right, crack them out. Now, fashion a crude weapon out of the hanger you find in the back. All right, MacGyver.
It looks good to me.
Stop saying that.
It does, but
stop
the way...
Stop saying it looks good to you.
But the way you
it's
say
ludicrous.
It sounds terrible.
It's a ludicrous film.
But if I didn't go to any movie you disagreed with, I wouldn't go to any.
How about you go to a movie we can agree on?
All right.
The Incredible Burt Wonderstone.
Yay. All right, that'll top my list.
This looks fun. Steve Buscemi and Steve Carell are a pair of aging, struggling, stale magicians. They're the Siegfried and Roy, let's say, of Vegas. Well, I say that only because they look exactly like Siegfried and Roy in this film. And they're the big deal for a short, you know, for a short while, and they get sort of egotistical and fool themselves, and they get rich. But then things go south when a new breed of magician shows up. Jim Carrey, let's call him Chris Angel.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he's just a douchebag. He's like the rock and roll magician. And they're stuck in the old school 70s jumpsuits with the feathered hair and everything. And
it's almost hard to parody that world, isn't it?
But this looks like they succeed. I agree. Yeah, but I agree. It looks like they take the stuffings out of all of those douchebags and makes it a worthwhile adventure. Here is a scene where the incredible Burt Wonderstone, played by Steve Carell, is trying to deal with the fact that he's broke. Now, after he's broken up with his partner, Steve Buscemi, and he's talking to his accountant, wondering where all his money went.
You put away almost nothing.
What are all these words? This is gobbledygook. What about all my investments?
Here you go. There's your imported Mexican spring water, agua de leche.
That was a very classy product.
It's Mexican water, Bert. You were selling the promise of diarrhea for $3 a bottle. And how about all the millions you put into that harebrained theme restaurant?
James Cameron's Titanic Cafe was a great idea. Our only mistakes were, A, made the floor too slanty, food kept sliding off the plates, and B, did not get James Cameron's permission.
Yeah, that would be a drawback. Olivia Wilde also stars. Alan Arkin's in this film. Looks like a funny, funny film for the weekend. That's my pick, because unless I get put in a trunk, of course, and I have to call Halle Berry and she teaches me how to get out.
And when she rescues you, you're going to apologize to her.
But what if I'm upside down and I see another car and I look up and then we fall in love? It's just so many potential pitfalls this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman movie beat.
April Foolishness tickets coming up just after 7 o'clock, and then we are joined by comedian Bill Burr, who is one of the funniest people alive, even though he's from Boston.
Well,
that's
you know,
okay.
It's not his fault.
It's all right. So that's coming up right now. We got to talk about Bill Belichick. He is, of course, the coach of the New England Patriots. He's not a fun guy.
He's a man of few words,
yes,
right?
Yes, he rarely speaks. He always wears the stupid sweatshirt on the sideline.
Right.
Always seems like he's in a bad mood even when they win.
Right.
And he went on Twitter this past Tuesday on his girlfriend's Twitter account.
Because you know he doesn't have one.
Right. Oh, he doesn't understand electronics at all.
He said
that.
And, really?
Yeah, he said he can't even figure out his car clock.
Oh, my God.
It took him 4 years to learn it. But he went on his girlfriend's Twitter, and they said, "Hey, everybody, it's Bill Belichick. Ask me whatever questions you want." And he had a kind of an impromptu Twitter press conference.
No kidding.
How crazy is that? Like somebody would tweet, "Any sweatshirts with sleeves?" And he wrote, "No short arms." Did you ever fix the time on your clock? This is the reference to, for 4 years he's been talking about not being able to. Figured it out this year. That's it. He's like. He's certainly not using up all of his characters. I'll say that about him.
Yeah.
And there were a bunch of fans. They were asking him, you know, what's the most important thing for the New England Patriots in the offseason and all that kind of stuff. So we thought we would check in with Bill just to find out how his first foray into Twitter went.
Okay.
Bill Belichick, good morning.
Hey.
How are you today?
Okay.
We were just talking about you being on Twitter this past Tuesday and answering fans' questions.
Yeah.
You did that because you wanted to or your girlfriend wanted you to?
I did.
You wanted to.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But you famously don't have, you don't use the computer, basically. You don't have Facebook. You don't have Twitter, right?
Okay.
Sorry for just going over some of this.
I don't have yearbook.
You don't have yearbook?
No.
Yeah, it's Facebook.
Yeah.
Okay. So people were asking you questions. Mm-hmm. Did you get a lot of hardcore fans of the Patriots?
Yes.
Did you get a lot of hate? That can happen on Twitter as well.
No.
You didn't get any hate?
No.
You, sir, are a liar.
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Asked and answered, Kevin. Move on.
when you were asked what is the most important thing for the Patriots this summer, you said better coaching.
Yeah.
Is that a, in the off season? Is that a, was that an attempt at humor? I mean, was that you being funny?
Okay.
No, I'm asking. What about this one? When is Bill getting a Twitter account? And then you put, no time soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you followed it up with,
LOL.
LOL.
Oh, look at you.
Do you know what that means, Bill? LOL?
Live only lies.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. We'll give you some more later.
Lick only lollipops.
Sure. Sure. I don't picture you as the kind of guy who laughs out loud is, I guess, my point.
No, I'm very funny.
You're very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that came through on this chat? Because I'm reading all of the tweets and they don't seem incredibly funny or even fun.
Junior Mints.
Favorite type of candy?
Mm-hmm.
Was that a joke?
It's funny.
But why, if somebody asks you your favorite kind of candy and you say Junior Mints, why is that funny? What? Bill? He does laugh out loud.
Junior Mint.
So that's not your favorite kind of candy?
No, of course not. That's funny.
Okay. Coming up just after 7 o'clock, your chance to win tickets for April Foolishness. As a matter of fact, hey, Ralph, do you have a giveaway here or no?
No, go ahead.
No, okay. If you'd like to call for tickets for April Foolishness, call now 1-800-520-1067. What you're going to have to do is identify TV themes from comedies.
Oh, all right.
TV themes.
That's
so if you're
good
with television shows, funny television shows, give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Ralph is here now with a look at the Showbiz Beat.
It must be good to be a prince.
I think it wouldn't be bad.
Right?
Yeah.
Let's say you're Prince Harry of England. And, you know, you decide that you would like to meet, I don't know, Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes. You just summon her?
Yeah. You served 4 months in Afghanistan, and now you want your prize. Mm-hmm. You want to come home to something fun. Apparently, Prince Harry has a crush on Jennifer Lawrence. Friends say that Harry has said that she is very... Well, she looks like a girl out for a good time, he said.
Is that a compliment?
That's what Harry likes, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Girl after his own heart. I guess that means she likes to get naked in Vegas. So he is summoning her. He's trying to put that together. He's trying to make that relationship happen. No word yet on whether Jennifer Lawrence has responded to his reach out. But look, she's a young girl. What's the worst that can happen? She goes out with Prince for a little bit?
Right.
It's got to have its upside.
I would think.
Go for it, J-Law. That's what we say.
No one says that.
No one says that?
What happened to your...
I have no idea. Oh, that's better. Huh. Kristen Stewart, meanwhile, she's still debating whether to get back together or not with her boyfriend, Robert Pattinson.
I thought he didn't want to be with her because she cheated.
What? Well, no, they got back together after that whole cheating scandal when she made the Snow White movie. But he has been 7,500 miles away in Australia, and that has put a strain in their relationship. She has been pursuing him. He reportedly has not been responsive to her trying to contact him while he's there. There had been rumors that he perhaps was seeing other women while he was in Australia. And now, Kristen may have decided to explore the other side of the street.
Oh, is that right?
National Enquirer's got a story saying that Kay Stew is spending quality time with Katy Perry's assistant, Tamara Nadison. And friends say there's an obvious romance there brewing. So, Kristen may be going the Lindsay Lohan route and deciding to give up men for a while and see what else the opposite sex has to offer.
I think she's ugly to women as well as she is to
probably
men.
Not, because in the lesbian world, she's probably a 10.
I don't think so.
I'm just saying. You know. She's good, you know, she got, doesn't wear those Birkenstocks, and she's out there, you know, touching her hair all the time. That's got to be attractive, right?
I guess.
I don't know. Not being a lesbian, I can't speak for them.
Yeah.
If you're a lesbian, call now. 1-800-520-1007.
Taking calls.
And let us know what you think of Kristen Stewart, won't you? Because we are looking for a... looks like Smash is in trouble, Lisa. I know.
Oh,
you,
no,
you know, like
no,
me,
no.
You
People
are a Smash fan.
Show.
You love the Smash.
Damn
nope.
It.
They have pulled it from Thursday nights. NBC has moving it to... Saturdays, oh. Beginning April 6th.
Oh, that's death.
Is Saturday worse than Friday, even?
Yeah, even.
Oh.
Just
so this is the last season.
TV graveyard.
Crap.
The show's ratings have been slipping.
The music is so good.
Down more than 25% from its first season. In its place, NBC will be moving Matthew Perry sitcom Go On into that slot for the remainder of the season. It just seems like NBC is determined to hold on to fifth place. They are doing everything they can, really, just to cinch fifth place.
Yeah.
They have decided to expand Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice to 2 hours.
Every week.
Beginning April the 14th. You know that show that no one's watching, starring that guy that no one likes? Let's make it 2 hours long, said NBC executives. I like it. This will ensure us fifth place.
Today, I'm very proud of myself.
Then NBC made more moves that secured its failure. They have announced they're bringing back the Sing-Off.
The Sing-Off?
The Sing-Off was a singing competition show.
I don't even remember that one.
It was one Nick Lachey hosted.
Barely.
Yeah. It died in the ratings. So NBC said, you know that show that nobody was watching?
Oh,
let's bring
geez.
That back. That Sing-Off show.
Who's running
people
things over there?
People love singing shows. We have The Voice. Remember that one show that we have that people actually watch, The Voice? Let's do more of that, because people obviously like that. Bring me back Nick Lachey. So that'll be back for season 4. So.
Fantastic.
More fascinating moves by NBC. A network, really, in name only, I think, at this point. It's the only thing we can call it. Looks like Jennifer Aniston's getting married anytime now. RadarOnline.com is reporting that Jennifer and her boyfriend Justin Theroux have informed friends and relatives to stay by their cell phones because the small, intimate affair that their wedding promises to be is going to be happening at the drop of a hat. They're going to have a surprise wedding. Surprise to the guests, not to them. They've been warned they have to drop everything if you want to attend the wedding, because you'll get a call, and then boom, it's game on, you got to get there. And then we're going to do the wedding, get in and out.
Can you imagine there's...
Not romantic.
There's not really going to be a lot of people there, is there?
Maybe
that's their way of cutting down on the people they have to invite.
I think it's really...
Go now!
It's just out of fear of press and paparazzi presence, and they're just going to try to do it commando style. It's kind of a shame when you have to concern yourself with all that stuff.
Well, other celebrities seem to be able to get married without doing that.
That's true. And Justin Bieber wants you to know that you're only talking about him because you're jealous.
Well, yeah.
Posted That's a message true. In Facebook yesterday saying that, first of all, he's tired of all the lies that are about him. Look, if I say you're a douchebag, it's not a lie, Justin. Okay?
You've backed that up many times.
But he says people are saying bad things about him because, and I quote, I'm 19 and it must be scary to some people to think that this is just the beginning. Yeah. You don't like me because I'm awesome. Basically is what he's telling us.
I'm jealous that he made $55 million last year. I'm jealous,
of that too. Apparently, Justin believes that is a symbol of his greatness. Because later on in that post, he took a shot at Lindsay Lohan for no reason, saying, he's nothing like her. And if you want proof, just look at her 2012 tax statements. Boom! Wow. So money equals good.
Of course, that's what he's learned.
That's what he's learned. If you have more money, then you're better than the other person, Lisa.
Yeah.
That's how you keep score.
You can be more of a douchebag if you have a lot of money.
Yeah. Look at Kevin. You know what I'm saying?
How dare you?
Today's celebrity birthday is Dee Snider of Twisted Sister. He's 58 years old today. Fabio. Oh, I miss Fabio. We haven't heard much from him since he got hit in the face with a goose on a roller coaster.
A goose.
It's a good way to go out.
It really is.
He's 54. Bret Michaels from Poison. He's 50 years old today. Mark McGrath, lead singer for Sugar Ray, is 45 years old. Actress Kim Raver, who was so good on 24 and also Grey's Anatomy, is 44 years old. Mark Hoppus of Blink 182 is 41. Eva Longoria from Desperate Housewives is 38. Will I Am of Black Eyed Peas turns 38 as well. DJ Joseph Hahn of Linkin Park is 36. Kellen Lutz, who you know from the Twilight movies, turns 28 years old today. And our very own Psycho Mike Catherwood celebrates his birthday today. He's a delicious 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we have comedian Bill Burr, who's going to be in our studios. He is one of the comedians on April Foolishness. Jay Moore, Bill Burr, Doug Benson, Rob Delaney, Ari Shaffir, and Brad Williams, and just added house DJ for the night, Mike Realm.
Oh,
who does great work. We're going to give away some tickets right now with Looney Tunes.
It's time to play.
That's oh yeah, folks.
TV theme songs. The theme songs for your favorite TV shows are often as connected to them as the stars themselves, and not enough TV theme songs anymore. Used to be
they don't do them.
There used to be just the heyday of TV theme songs, like back in the 70s and 80s. You knew the theme songs better than you knew the shows. But now with advertising time being so expensive, they just try to truncate that stuff. And if you get a theme now out of a TV show, you're lucky.
Yeah.
But these are some of your favorite TV comedies, and since April Foolishness is an evening all about comedy, we thought it would be fun to play for you the theme songs of some of your favorite TV shows. If you can identify the TV show the theme song comes from, you get in the drawing for tickets for April Foolishness.
Let's start with Jose. Hi, Jose.
Hey, Callie, how's it going?
Good. Hi, Jose.
The rest of you.
And the rest of us.
Jose, I'm going to play you a TV theme song. Tell me what TV show this is from.
Seinfeld.
Yeah. Seinfeld is right.
Good job.
We started easy, right? That's an easy one.
Yep.
You sure heard Kevin singing the Seinfeld theme song yesterday.
It was spot on, right?
Uh-huh. I love that song. We're like, what are you doing?
They didn't even recognize it. All right, let's go to Lindsay. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Here's your TV theme song. Tell us what TV show this is from. Hello?
Family Guy
is right.
Family Guy, well done, Lindsay.
Turn your radio down. God damn it.
Let's talk to Shane next, shall we, Shane?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Shane. We're going to play you a TV theme song. You just have to identify the show, okay?
Let's do it.
All right, what TV show is that?
Crap. Is that Frasier?
Oh, how do you not know my show? Oh.
Yes, everybody loves Raymond.
Everybody loves Raymond, yeah.
Don't sound like that.
Tim.
Yes.
Hey, Tim, we're going to play a TV theme song. Just identify the show, okay?
Not a problem.
Can't help but do that. Can't help.
It's the clap of gayness.
How dare you, Tim?
Yes.
What's the show?
Friends.
That's
Friends
right,
is correct.
Sir. I'll be there for you, Robbie.
Hang on. I got problems.
Well, we know that, but what does that do with the game?
Okay. Go down for Kevin.
I was messing up the phones. I had to keep them straight.
Robbie.
Yes.
You ready for your theme song?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, classic.
Carol Burnett Show.
Oh, no. Not classic to Robbie. AC/DC. No, so that was I Love Lucy.
Oh, damn it.
It's all the same.
Sorry,
I agree.
Bobby.
I
don't know.
Well, maybe the big first sitcom hit ever.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to James. Hi, James.
Hey.
You ready? How have you been doing on hold, by the way?
I've been doing good.
Okay.
All right. It's a little older, but not quite as old as Lucy. Here you go.
Well, it is done, Roseanne. Sir. Wow. Well done.
Boy, who thought he was going to pull that,
that
one
was,
out?
That was, we had a difficulty factor in around eight. Really? You didn't recognize that?
Yeah. Who else has a harmonica in the intro to their show? Yeah.
Good question.
It's Roseanne and the Rockford Files. I think those are the only two. Hold on, James. You're in the drawing. You got a couple more of time?
Yeah, we do.
Ulysses.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Ulysses. That's a name and a half right there.
That is a pretty good
you
name.
You got to make something of yourself with a name like Ulysses. You better do something.
What do you do for a living, Ulysses?
I'm a driver for a Shrek company.
All right. That's the man. That's the man right there. Ulysses, we'll play you a theme song. You just tell us what the show is, okay?
All right. Go ahead. That's on The Big Bang Theory?
Oh, Ulysses. That was The Office.
It was The Office.
The Office.
Sorry, dude.
I feel bad for Ulysses.
I do, too.
One more. David?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Have you known the song so far, sir?
Yes. I wanted the last few.
All right. Well, here's yours. See if you can pick it up, all right? David.
Oh, my God.
It's the instrumental version. I'll give you just a hint.
These have all been instrumental versions. If there were lyrics, we took them out, so not to give you any hints.
Oh, man. I don't watch daytime TV. That's got to be daytime TV.
This is nighttime TV.
You're going to kick yourself, dude. That's South Park.
South Park. Shoot. South Park.
Oh, my goodness.
Sorry. It's a little different without them screaming lyrics at you. Sorry, David. All right, who we got in the drawing?
We have Jose and Lindsay and Tim and Javier?
James.
Sorry, I'm having trouble reading.
Kevin's having a stroke.
A lot of problems with a lot of things.
If you're a medical professional, please come down to the studio.
Lisa, who's our winner?
Winner is Lindsay.
Lindsay. Congratulations, Lindsay.
Thank you. Awesome.
See you in April Foolishness. Bill Burr is next.
Abity, 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 and that's... Oh, yeah, folks.
Bill Burr, joining us in the studio now. Follow him on Twitter, at Bill Burr. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
How's life?
Life is good. I can't complain. I was... I can't complain.
Okay,
you do complain. You know what? I was on the road. I was having a great time, and my girl called me up, and we had just redone her office, the one room in our house that doesn't look like it's 900 years old. We're slowly trying to rebuild this old house, and a pipe burst during the rainwater.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it just came pouring in.
Sweet.
Pouring in.
After you had just poured money into it?
And it did it at night when she was sleeping.
You
should have seen the floors. We had them all redone. Looked like a basketball court. I didn't want to go on them. They buckled.
God.
And it went all the way down to the bottom of the, like, you know, we have a basement and crawl space all the way down this. And then it's an old house, so we have a little bit of asbestos in the walls.
It's nasty.
So people had to come in those Breaking Bad, I'm going to cook some meth suits. I'm slowly going nuts. But
does your house stink now?
No, because they got on it. I got to admit, the insurance people stepped up. We got it. And they went in and they took everything out. But today, the insurance adjuster comes. So I'm guessing.
I thought the insurance adjuster came first and then told you how much you're going to get from the insurance company, no?
I don't know. He's coming on because we had a little bit of lead paint and a little bit of asbestos just because it's an older house. Not higher levels. So then he's coming down and I'm guessing he's going to adjust it in his favor. That seems to be what they do.
That's usually how it works.
It's never like, oh, we should give you more money. It's like,
do you see at Hurricane Katrina, there were actual companies saying that they were not going to cover it because it's water damage.
And they covered for water damage.
Or they'd see the water line would be 3 feet up and be like, oh, we're only covering the bottom three feet of your house. The rest of that, you must have some kids or something. You got to tell them to stay off that roof.
they're not kind to people usually. That's the problem. So you're gonna need to write them a check, I imagine, if they already did it. Already did the work.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm just gonna keep doing gigs. That's how I look at it. Like I actually any money that an insurance company gives me, I just look at that as gravy because you know they always just figure out how they're not liable. Now, that's what kills me about the premium. I know part of my premium is going towards a team of lawyers that's gonna pour over my case to figure out how not to pay me.
Yeah, that's true. That happens.
Slitting my own throat every month.
We had floods maybe three times in our house, bad pipes and whatnot, and they stopped covering us for floods.
Really?
Damage unless we got all of the pipes redone, which is an absurdly expensive thing. I don't know if they're building them with diamonds now or what, but it's
no, they go copper. You probably have those old galvanized ones.
Probably. I don't know. There are leaks all over the place.
Well, the thing that kills me is that's what I did when I first got in the house. I switched all of them over because I didn't want to have to deal with it. And there was this one little – I got a flat roof like a school, and it slopes towards the front of the house. Yeah. It basically is a crawl space above. There's like literally 2 feet.
That you didn't
do. In the 50 feet that goes out of the thing, and that's where it failed.
Oh, yep. Man. Oh, yeah.
Yep. So you just go, I'm back on the road. Screw this.
That's how I always look at it. Yeah.
How many days have you gone a year?
I have a nice schedule at this point. I just go every other week.
Oh, that's not
every
bad.
Other weekend. Yeah. Go out there, put my feet in the sand, tell some jokes.
They must pay you big dough then.
No.
Because he's only doing his house one room at a time.
Yeah, but all the
other
comedians.
That's how I like to do it, just slowly.
Right.
But all the other comedians I know are on the road all the time, and it drives them crazy, and they hate it, and, you know, it's a rough road.
I live within my means.
All right.
Not saying the others don't, but, I mean, you don't need to do that every week.
You don't need to do that.
Nobody needs to do that. Nobody needs to do that.
Talk to Brad Williams. When he's at April Foolishness. That guy is on the road every...
Maybe he loves it, though.
Yeah, maybe they love it. Yeah,
how could you love that?
Well, for a while you probably did,
yeah,
right?
Maybe.
No.
Never?
No. And I would go...
Great
joy, I would have writer's luck. No, but I go every other week and I love it.
Right. But look, I mean, did you love it?
No, I thought you said it. If you went every week, would you
love
it?
No, I'm just saying in the beginning... Because Brad hasn't been at this as long as Bill. So I'm just saying in the beginning, you might enjoy it more than after you've done it for 15 years.
Imagine the traveling part of it would just suck, though.
Jesus, guys, what are you doing here?
The airport.
You're killing me here.
Sucks.
What about your guys' life every day?
We're not getting on a plane, though.
You got to come in here and be like, welcome, Los Angeles. It's sunny again today. How about those Lakers? What, can Dwight Howard mess with Paul? If Pa went to Applebee's with Kobe, do you think how long is ESPN going to do that? Why do the Lakers stink this year? Why can't they just accept that they stink?
They
do the same thing in baseball with the Red Sox and the Yankees, where they just spend so much money that if they stink,
I think that's it.
The story becomes,
can
Bobby Valentine get on the same page as that? Who cares?
They spend so much money that on paper they should dominate. So if they don't, there must be a story there.
Look, Dwight Howard went on Ellen, and when Ellen stopped dancing, he wanted to keep going. Right there, that was a major red flag. The man
at
is
that
working.
Point,
he's working harder in show business than I am. So,
do you see Kobe got injured? Does that make you happy? To see Kobe got injured?
No, I'm never happy when somebody gets injured.
Right. I don't know. You're a Celtics fan. I'm just saying. I don't know.
But I'm not a jerk. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, I'm not a jerk because I would have been saying a bunch of jerk things at this point.
Okay, all right.
All right, Dwight Howard's built like a superhero. What more do you want from me?
Yes.
That's true, and yet when he goes to the free throw line,
what
it's
happened to Kobe? I don't watch sports that don't have a hard cap. I don't like that.
Oh, really?
I like the NFL, how Green Bay can compete with New York City. Can the Milwaukee Bucks compete with the Lakers? No, they can't.
Well, this year they can, but most years they can't. No, Kobe went
every once in a while you have your Gary Payton, Karl Malone team.
Yeah.
Inexplicable. We signed everybody in the league. How does this happen? I love that Miami is out Lakering the Lakers as far as buying championships.
Yeah,
I love
they are. They are.
It's phenomenal.
But it can't be so phenomenal because you're from Boston and the Celtics kind of suck.
The Miami Heat are an expansion franchise. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So I don't care what they do. To me, they're just an expansion franchise. Good for you. I'll pat you on the head. Oh, did you get your fourth one? Oh, I don't care.
It doesn't make you mad as a Celtics fan to say, hey, they just bought it. You don't have that.
No, that's what it is now. The Lakers have either been buying them or been trying to buy them since the late 90s. They're like the Yankees of baseball. And then the Celtics were like the Red Sox. We're like, well, I guess this is how it plays now. And now we're trying to do it. But like the Red Sox versus the Yankees, we're not as good as it. But I told you this before. We can't compete with the L.A. market because, look, 99% of people or whatever. I don't do research. We'll say, let's go 92.
Just make up a number.
Are black dudes, right? So it's like, here's the choice. Do you want to go to this racist cold city or do you want to go to this racist warm city with celebrities? It's a no-brainer for them.
That's why they're fans?
Would you like your police brutality with,
with snow
with
or not?
Mild wind? Or would you like to have to scrape off your car with an ice scraper and then get pulled over for no reason?
It seems like that's a pretty easy choice.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
All right. Bill Burr is here. He's going to be on the April Foolishness, April 6th. We'll take a break and cover. Comedian Bill Burr in the studio with us. BillBurr.com is the website. You got Bill's Monday Morning Podcast. You're going to be at April Foolishness. You've done that before.
This will be my third time.
What is the
three-peat?
What's the we were just talking about the Lakers. What's the difference between Foolishness and other comedy shows? Is it just
it's much bigger than anything that I play, and nobody's coming there to see me.
Is that a bummer or is that good?
No, it's just a different vibe from the crowd. When people come to see you, I mean, there might be a few people there coming to see me, but you got all that other talent on there and fans of this show and fans of the cause and all of that. So, you know, it's one of those deals that you have to earn it that night. Like you go out there, if you go out there late and they're all hammered and they already they all feel like they got their money's worth.
Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of got to go out there with a whip and a chair at that point.
So they're done. They're done with the show, you mean, by the time you get out there?
And that's what's funny listening to you guys every year. I had the set of the night, that guy who went on 20 minutes into it. Hey, what's with so-and-so? He wasn't this funny. He wasn't as funny this year. And the guy's going on like 2 hours into the show.
I think there's some truth to that.
Of course there is.
You can only laugh for so long.
The show,
you can only sit up so long if you've been drinking that hard.
The show has been too long. That's been our issue with it, is that the guys at the end really don't get the attention. So did we let you know what the order is? Because it sounds like we did.
No. I'm guessing.
You're last.
Am I?
Yeah.
You doing that to me again?
Because you're strong enough to be last and
no,
be interesting.
I'm not.
You are.
No, I'm not.
Of course you are.
Look like I'm from L.A. You're going to put the pasty-faced Boston guy on last? Every time I go out there, they already trash me because of the Celtics anyways.
Well, they should.
Because they hear me on this show.
They should, first of all, for that.
Why? Because I stick up for my team? They should admire the fact that I can go behind enemy lines and not change uniforms.
Yeah,
say what you want about Celtics fans. At least we show up at the start of the game.
Well, that's a whole different problem.
Yeah.
Let's not get into that, for God's sake.
I know. You guys are downstairs having a drink with Diane Cannon. You got to put your fake tanner on before you get in there.
We do need...
I like those people in the upper deck at the Staples Center.
Yeah, they're always the best.
You like that? That's my pandering now.
Nicely
the
done.
Real fans.
Right. Same
guys,
with the Kings.
The guys I go to get up in the morning, go to work.
I go to Kings games all the time, and those guys up. I have friends that sit in the very, very top row of Staples Center. That's crazy to me.
Staples Center is one of the what's the word when you have no middle class? What kind of government is that?
Oh,
all of them.
You're asking the wrong guy. Yeah. It's just upper class and lower class.
That's what the Staples Center is. You have the rich, hooked-up corporate people on the bottom.
Right.
Up top, you have the working people. And in the middle, there's just this moat of luxury boxes keeping the undesirables away from the Illuminatis. I've never seen, even in other stadiums, they do have that mezzanine level where it's like, you know, we kind of had a good week.
Right.
We're doing all right. Pipes didn't burst in the house. We'll light up the car just for this game, you know, so we can come down to see LeBron or whatever. They just don't have that. It's like, no.
Yeah, they don't.
You're either loaded or start walking, buddy.
The Lakers, but the Celtics have to be the same as far as season tickets. It's a long list to get on. You can't just buy season tickets.
I'm talking about how the stadium is set
up. No, I know what you're talking about, the setup.
There's still like a middle.
But I'm saying, let's say somebody decides they just want to go to a Laker game. You can't do that. For the reason you're saying is
if you want to sit
they're
down,
not available.
If you want to sit down close, no.
They're not even available up top.
It might be this year. I mean,
well, this year it probably
is. But even still, I'm just saying, like,
Does it do your heart good to watch the Lakers this year? Do you like that?
As a Celtics fan, you have to like that.
Because I like to watch the Celtics implode.
No, I like when they're good. I like when they're good and we're good and we play and we win. That's what I like.
That's what I like, too.
It's boring.
I was upset when Rondo got hurt, for example, because but, if we ever come up against the Celtics, I want them to be at their best, and then I want to beat them.
Yeah, so that so then you can talk trash, yes. And then the other guys, well, Rondo was up. They can't say that. But I will say, it is annoying to me that the league is so unbalanced that when – it's almost like illegal now for certain teams to stink. So if they stink, then they have to talk about why do they stink, what's going on. Like – I mean, all that stuff last year about the Red Sox.
Yeah.
And, oh, what's going on? They spent all this money. It just was I hated it after a while. It's like, look, it didn't work out. They suck.
They gave it a good shot.
How about you talk about the teams that are doing well?
That's no fun.
Yeah, I don't know. What I don't know. I really sound like a crabby old man, but it's true.
We're also really spoiled. By being a Laker fan, you're spoiled because they've won a lot. Yeah. And so now this year they suck and you go, hey,
you know what
drives me
nuts is I only have AM radio. I have an old truck and I only have it in there. So it's either like, you know, some sort of religious stuff, political thing, Spanish speaking. I don't speak Spanish. Or I have to listen to the Laker network.
Has an AM radio?
It's a 68 F100. What kills me is listening to Max Kellerman with his Philly accent. Just sitting there going, you know, Kobe Bryant and the Lakers. I got to tell you. See, this is the Lakers. We expect championships. It drives me nuts. It's just, dude, you're from Philly.
Yeah.
You're a Sixers fan. Yeah. I'm not saying I don't like the guy. I love the guy. But I'm just saying, as a Celtics fan, I've never screamed at the radio more than listening to that guy kiss the A of the Lakers with his Philly accent. You're from Philly. You hated the Lakers growing up.
Ralph says he's from New York. Either way, they
Is
hate the
New
Lakers.
York? Whatever.
Either way, they hate the Lakers growing
look,
up.
That whole area, they all sound the same to me. It cracks me up that they hate each other. I can't tell the difference.
Why don't you – did you work on losing your Boston accent? Because the Boston accent is the most annoying accent, I think, of all.
I thought I still had it. People know that I'm from there.
No, you have it, but it's not extreme. You know, it's not – I don't know. You hear people that are in Boston right now talk, and you go, wow, it's fingernails on a chalkboard.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty heinous accent. I'll give you that. I'll give that to you.
But you
know what's funny is, like, there's really not an L.A. accent because nobody's from here.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's true.
I guess they have the Californians that they do on SNL.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's not.
It's going to be jammed. I find that more like when you go, like, if you're doing something, you know, down south from here.
Yeah.
Or maybe north. I don't know.
The Valley. Orange County.
Yeah. Even the Valley, though. Valley's a bunch of grips and boys and
people who work in the studios.
Actors that grew up. Like, I can't deal with Hollywood anymore.
I live in the Valley, it's all retirement people. It's all old people just driving around waiting to die. I'm telling you.
Being old is great. You go down to the drugstore.
No, it isn't.
And you get an ice cream cone with your old wife.
Let's talk about the drugstore.
Old people always get ice cream down at the pharmacy. You notice that? And you always think to yourself, like, why did I just come in here to get shampoo? I know they sell ice cream. You always see them. They're adorable. Still arm in arm.
See, that's your romantic version of what goes on. Let me tell you what really goes on. Because I go to a pharmacy in Encino, Tarzana. Mm-hmm. And that is... people are driving around the parking lot waiting to die. And then they get out of their car and they shuffle into the CVS. And then they stand in line. And then they count out the correct coins. And I want to kill them all. It really is driving me batty.
Come on,
and it's not fun. It's not
romantic. Who doesn't have patience for old people?
This one, right here.
Me, because I live amongst them. It's rough. Have you ever sat behind somebody at a red light? The light turns green. Uh-huh. The person sits there not going because they're not paying attention until the light turns red again. Have you ever done that?
Not until it turns red again.
Yes.
Not until it turns
happened
red again.
Within
but,
the last
but
couple
you know
of
what
weeks.
I don't like about drivers
I start
out
on
here?
The horn right away and it doesn't help. First it's the eh. Then it's the eh eh. Then it's the eh. It doesn't make any difference.
Well, you got to give yourself some space then. Don't pull right up on that bumper. You know what drives me nuts about people out here is they'll sit at a light. You're right behind them, like you're supposed to be, the right distance.
Right.
And then the second the light turns green, they put their left hand turn signal on.
Oh, I know.
And then you beep the horn at them, and they have no clue.
Yes.
They're mad at you.
They have no clue.
Yeah.
No clue.
It's frightening. It's maddening.
traffic here.
I try to settle into that everything's going to be okay vibe, that pot cookie vibe that people seem to drive on out here, where it's just like, hey, if I don't make this light, I'll make the next one. I don't need to get all the way out into the intersection to make sure the two people behind me also get to take a left.
You sort of feel that pressure, though, when you're not on the pot cookies. You sort
no,
of
if,
feel that
if you're the first guy in line to make a left, get you have a responsibility that not only the person behind you, the person behind you.
Right. Agreed.
I've talked about this a zillion times.
It's a very heavy weight to have on your shoulders
when
you're first in line.
It isn't out here because it's not enforced.
Well, that's
true. It's do what you want.
That's true.
Have I said anything positive?
Yeah. No, I think I've been more negative than you have. I'm finally explaining to people why I hate old people so much. It's just...
I love old people.
Pander.
No, I don't. They say what's on their mind.
Kevin Beats.
That is true.
That makes no sense. They don't care.
Kevin Beats, April Foolishness, 2013. Bill Burr will be there. There are a few single tickets available, I think, still. If you want to go to Ticketmaster and check it out, I would do that quickly rather than lately. We did add Mike Realm, who's going to be there. Tickets are on sale
going
now.
Going on last. Mikey, bringing it home.
Actually,
God
Bill,
bless him. God bless him.
I'm pretty sure we have Bill Burr going last.
Now, I'm
going
to pull up lame. I got a hammy problem. I want that sweet third spot.
All the proceeds benefit the Wounded Warrior Project and Cedars-Sinai NICU, which makes me feel bad because you're driving around in a truck with an AM radio. I feel like we should be paying you something for it. But
what are you talking about? It's a wonderful truck.
But it only has...
Hey, you know what? Some of the proceeds I get from my advertising, I donate to the Wounded Warrior Project.
Is that right?
There you go.
I didn't
Why wouldn't you?
Hey, you're a good guy.
You know?
I didn't know.
You know what? Maybe some of this should go towards middle-aged guys, patience for old people.
I could use that, that's for sure. BillBurr.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Bill Burr, and see him at April Foolishness, April 6th, at the Gibson Amphitheater. Thanks for coming.
I'm really looking forward to it. I know I made fun of it. I absolutely love it. I don't care where you put me.
Well, we're putting you last, so.
I'm up for it.
Enjoy.
I'm up for the show.
If you love penguins, visit the new June Keys Penguin Habitat at Aquarium of the Pacific in Long Beach. These funny seabirds have come from South America, and don't forget the sea otters and Shark Lagoon. Call 888-SHARKS2 or click on aquariumofpacific.org. Aquarium of the Pacific, where the ocean and people connect. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:54. Time for the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph.
Who doesn't love penguins, by the way?
I know, right?
We all love penguins.
You'd have to be a horrible person.
I can't believe you'd have to ask that question, Lisa, if you love penguins. Everybody loves penguins.
I agree.
The best.
To give it.
It is the showbiz beat here for a Friday. A lot of people sending me emails saying, hey, I heard you talking about the Veronica Mars Kickstarter thing earlier in the week. How are they doing? What are they up to? And it was a record-breaking event. In less than 12 hours, they reached their goal of $2 million to produce the Veronica Mars movie. And the donations and contributions just keep pouring in. Here we are, I guess, day three of this event, of a 30-day fundraising campaign. And I thought to bring in the current total, I'd bring in our biggest Veronica Mars fan and the man who's been following the story the most, Dave the King of Mexico. Dave, what are they up to over there at the Kickstarter project for the Veronica Mars movie?
With 28 days to go, they are up to 3297867.
There you go.
Who says numbers like that?
My man.
How
my
do
man
we not?
Here.
I've known
he
Dave.
He said a bunch of numbers. I don't even know what that means. It could be $3. It could be $3 million.
It's over $3 million. Dave, how long have I known you?
About 12 years.
How did I just discover this week that that's how you say numbers?
Because I just started 2 days ago
saying
numbers like that.
Nobody says numbers like that.
We knew you couldn't speak English, but now you can't speak math.
What's happening?
You can't speak amounts.
It's crazy.
3297867.00.
So what the rest of us will say is $3,297,867.
That's one way of saying it.
That's an impressive number right there.
Anyone could say it like that.
Dave's calling out a bingo game. All right, Dave, thank you. Thanks for all your help.
You can sit at his table tonight if you want to play blackjack.
Buddy. Yeah. Oh, 917. No, you busted, Dave. No, 284.
He's not a math genius.
Yeah, almost $3.5 million. With just a couple days in. They have 28 days more to go.
After asking for two.
Their budget's going to be bigger than Avatar by the time they're done with this.
After asking for two.
It's going to be Veronica Mars in IMAX 3D CGI in space. It'll be Mars on Mars. Veronica Mars on Mars.
I like it.
They're not going to know what to do with all the money. Craziness. Great story from Gerard Butler. don't know if you remember this or not, but the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Brandy Glanville went public with the fact that she had sex with Gerard Butler. She was very proud of that fact.
Does she get a bell? I don't know who she is.
No, she doesn't.
Okay.
She's hideous.
All right, good.
And she went talking about it to the press and everything, blah, blah, blah. So paparazzi catches up to Gerard Butler at some point, and they say, hey, you know, Brandy Glanville says she's had sex with you. And he says, who is Brandy Glanville? Had no idea who they were talking about.
Well, there's a chance he could have had sex with
her. That's correct. Well, it turns out, Lisa, that Gerard Butler did, in fact, have sex with Brandy Glanville. He has since said he did have sex with her, but did not know her name.
Wow.
And found out after the fact that he had had sex with Brandy Glanville. Once he saw the picture, and then he said, oh, okay, yeah, I just kind of remember her saying her name was Brandy. He had no idea about the last name, and he certainly had no idea that she was a pseudo-celebrity from a reality TV show.
How many women could go up to him and say that, and he wouldn't know?
Many. I'm guessing many.
It just seems like a good life
She
for
came
him.
Up to him at a beach party. She said, let's do it. He was like, all right. He said it was a one-off, and he said it was a good time, but he apologized for not knowing who she was and not remembering her name. So he's a gentleman, if nothing else.
Yes.
By the way, he also contacted her, according to this interview, and said when he talked to her, first of all, I'm not very happy that you talked about it, because there's certain things you like to keep a little private. And two, I'm sorry I didn't know who you were. So he's a gentleman. But he's kind of point. Like, you know, keep it to yourself. She had sex with a star just so she could go public and say, I had sex with a star.
Right. But they benefit from that.
Who benefits?
The stars.
He doesn't get hurt by it. That's
he doesn't
for sure.
No, I mean, I'm sure they pull some tail that they're doing it just because they want to say it. So
it's not
like they're turning it down.
No, there's the fame factor while they're getting a proposition.
They
got to
know
right.
that going in.
Yeah, but I don't think he...
Literally.
But I don't think he wants... You want to have sex with a star, that's on you. And yeah, it's a mutually exchanged sort of...
goods and services?
Power exchange there, right? You have the sex, I have the fame, you want a little bit of that, I want a little of that, there we do that. But then to go to the press and talk about how you had sex with that's a different step.
Well, that's true, and as opposed to just telling your friends.
Right, tell your girlfriends whatever, have it for yourself, whatever reason you need to do it, but then to go to the paparazzi and say, oh, I just had sex with Gerard Butler, that's a touch out of line. I think he's got a point. But she called him an 11 out of 10 as a lover. Now
all
that
right.
helps. That helps.
Yeah,
right?
Stop
if you're going to the press, then that's the kind of story you want to have.
11 out of 10.
Yeah. Brandy Glanville also said she had sex with Ed Asner, TV's Lou Grant.
No, she didn't.
No, she didn't.
But, that's a catch.
She would have killed him.
Catch! There's no catch! Ed Asner out of the hospital after 2 days. He was forced to leave his one-man show when he got sick on stage. He appeared disoriented, started forgetting his lines. They said once FDR started talking about Varengo solar panels, they knew it was time to get Ed off of stage. But he is flying back to Los Angeles to rest, so the TV legend, by all accounts, is recovering, and he's okay. So, everyone who was worried about Ed Asner, please, just relax.
What do you think I'm going to be like when I'm 70, Ralph?
I can't imagine. I don't even be around. It's just going to be you just drooling, smearing strawberry ice cream on the walls.
It's already happening.
Oh, that's right. You did all those
things.
That's
yeah, my life now.
Wow. Can you imagine you at 7?
no, I can't. Plus, I hate old people, so I'm going to hate myself.
Well, sure. Well, that you should. But to Kevin's loved ones, spend as much time with you, Ken, as you can with him now, because
yeah.
he is not going to know who the hell you are by the time that rolls around. Get the money, put it in some sort of conservatorship, you know, get it in cash, put it in a wall safe or
How
something.
How dare you?
Because he won't be able to sign checks or anything. He's going to be useless. By then, you'll be on your third wife, and some 22-year-old just pushes you around in a wheelchair and spends all your money. You'll be like,
goes back to the rhino.
Is Glenda here? You're looking for Glenda. You have flashing memories of the show. Maybe we should take a trip in the tube of history.
Let's flash
forward and see what future Kevin's going to be
I don't
like.
Think we have time for that.
It could be good times. Today's celebrity birthday is Dee Snider of Twisted Sisters, 58 years old. Legendary cover model Fabio. He used to be on the cover of all those Harlequin romances. That's how he got his big break. 54 years old today. Terrence Trent D'Arby. Whatever happened to him? The man who said he was going to be bigger than the Beatles. When his first album came out.
He was huge for
white hot.
1 minute.
Yep. 51 years old. Bret Michaels of Poison is 50. Rockwell is 49. Is Rockwell the one who sang, Sometimes it feels like
I think
the fight is what
watching me.
That with Michael Jackson?
Actually, that was Michael Jackson singing that part.
I think so.
We got to get a little taste of that song. I haven't heard that in a million years. That's a horrible song.
It is bad.
But I would like to hear it again for some reason. Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray is 45. Kim Raver from Grey's Anatomy and 24 is 44. Mark Hoppus of Blink is 41. Eva Longoria turns 38, as does Will.i.am of Black Eyed Peas. Joseph Hahn, DJ of Linkin Park, is 36. Kellen Lutz from the Twilight movies is 28. And Psycho Mike Catherwood, Loveline Loverboy, turns 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You created an app, and it was a success or a failure. Either way, we're going to want to talk to you in a few minutes. Right now, let's talk about the new Pope, Pope Francis. Pope Francis.
I was a little shocked at how much constant coverage there was about this. I mean, I know the Pope is a big deal, but, you know, it's not like everybody's a Catholic. I was just a little surprised.
Yeah, I agree. But I think the world kind of stops and watches because it's such a...
It's an odd, unusual spectacle.
It happens
like every 20 years.
And this is the first time there's been anybody from, you know, South America that's the Pope, and everybody's wondering about him, and now all this information's coming out about him. And I don't know, there's stories about the dirty war in Argentina where he's from and all that kind of stuff. So we thought we'd check in with him and just...
Oh, we got the new Pope?
We got the new Pope. How about that? Dave can't count, but he has the Vatican on speed dial.
No kidding.
Good morning, Your Holiness. Okay.
We don't speak that.
You don't speak that?
Whatever that is.
It's Latin.
Okay, we don't.
And buenos aires, good morning to your cavern and the bean and Lisa May.
Good morning.
I apologize in advance. My English is not so great.
That's all right.
Sorry, thank you for talking at me on the phone today.
Thanks for talking at us.
Happy to talk at you.
What's it like as the new Pope? That's got to be a weird feeling, right?
A lot of people don't like the new Pope. They prefer the classic Pope. But
really?
You have to, everyone knows that you're trying to do best for Catholicism, and you know, you do the best job you can. What else can you do?
Are you surprised by the amount of scrutiny that has come your way?
I don't screw. I am
scrutiny.
I am a celibate for the papacy, so I no screw.
The accusations of things in your past, people looking into your activities. Are you surprised by that?
I am. Well, it's a high profile. Position.
Yeah, that's for sure.
To have the Pope.
Right.
And so you expect a certain amount of, people up your ass.
That's how you say it.
Yeah. In English, people in my grill so much. And it comes with, as you say, the territory.
Sure.
Okay.
Do you get a daily call from Pope Benedict, who's one of the rare...
Benny Noakes calls me so much.
What's his name?
Benny.
Benny.
I call him Benny. We're close. He's in a monastery.
Mm-hmm.
Just him and a large bottle of Jergens, a hand lotion, and a box of tissues.
Come on.
I don't know what's going on in there, but he must have a bad head cold and very dry skin.
So that's how he's spending his time now? That's why he had to step away from the...
He's blowing his nose and moisturizing, as far as I can tell.
Okay, good. How do you like being Pope so far? Has it been a
good times.
Experience?
Good times.
Yeah?
You get the snazzy red shoes,
right,
which are very comfy. They make them for you special.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
These aren't the JCPenney off the rack.
No, they're a big deal.
They measure your foot and everything.
Right.
And... you get the big hat.
Right.
Which is a great place to keep your car keys and your wallet.
Do you drive?
Oh, sure, I drive. They have the Pope mobile.
Well, yeah, but usually that's somebody
else
driving.
I'm like a Batman. I slide down a Pope pole and hop in the Pope mobile.
There's a Pope
in the Pope? Pope pole. I throw the Poparang at the bad guys who are coming at me. And so far, it's a good time, I think. I am going to enjoy Be Pope.
You're going to like it.
Well,
that's great. Well, that's good.
If the priest stopped touching kids.
That would help, wouldn't it?
That would be a big help to me, personally, if they would stop touching the kids.
I can see
that. Because people don't like gee, the Thatchers.
No.
And it's hard to stand up for them and say, oh, these are good guys. They just have a little problem with Thatcher kid. So you have to stop Thatcher kid.
Right. Which brings up the final question, which is a lot of people are wondering if you're going to clean house of, you know, the Cardinals and different people who have been in this particular problem and they've been pointed to as.
Well, I tell them when I first become Pope, I say, I am Pope Francis. But my friends call me Pope Psycho. And any of you homos that touch my stuff, I kill you.
Wow.
Any of you homos that call me Francis, I kill you. And then one cardinal say, lighten up, Francis.
Are you sure you're not quoting from the movie Stripes?
Oh, yeah, that was Stripes, yeah.
That was Stripes,
right.
Yeah.
I watched it last night. It was a suck in my head. Sergeant Hulka. I love that movie.
Let's talk about making apps for a second. There are millions of apps, and everybody looks for the good ones, and then they, you know, if you tell a friend, hey, I got a great app, you should download. Oh, I download. Yeah, that's...
It is really hard to get to the top, though, because
it seems like it, right?
So many.
But, and some of them seem so simple. You know, Instagram, for example. You just think, how that's just some... screens that you put on a photo. That's it.
But here's the thing. When you think of a great idea for an app, then what do you do? I know people all the time that come up with things. You go, yeah, that'd be awesome. But now what?
I've had people come to me and say, I'm working on this app. Are you interested? And I would say, absolutely. Mm-hmm. This is a great idea. I can't believe somebody hasn't done it yet. Haven't heard from them.
And then they don't do it.
In years, I haven't heard from them.
I think it's much harder than we know.
Well, there is an article, 5 Simple Rules for Making Your First App. Written by Stu Stein of PB&J Publishing. This is a guy who came up with an app for Hansel and Gretel.
Okay.
It's called Hansel and Gretel Lost. Yes, it's a game. As soon as he saw the iPad advertised, he said, I should do something interactive that kids can go through and learn. And he gives 5 examples of things that you can learn from his failures.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it would be fun to talk to our listeners who have come up with apps. And they've succeeded or failed.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, because it does seem like there are millions that make it. How many must there be that don't make it,
right,
or that are in processing? For example, this guy Stu says that you should plan on, if you're going to make an app, you should plan on 3 years.
No kidding.
That's
really? That's I thought you could whip it up in a couple of months.
That's what you would think. 2 months, right? That's
Three
a long time.
3 years.
3 years.
Oh, my
yes.
God.
And so he gives some examples, and he talks about the first software developer walked away a year into the project. They had to start over.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you do depend on other people a lot. Somebody else quit the company and took a lot of information with them. And he also says that when he started, there weren't any Hansel and Gretel apps that he was aware of. Now there are over 60.
Oh, so that delay really cost him.
Yes. And he's got a bunch of different rules for how you should, come up with an app and what you should expect along the way. So we want to take some calls from the K-Rock audience. If you have come up with an app or you have a great idea that you think would be a good app, but you don't know where to start, give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Maybe you are a successful app.
I would love to hear, because I imagine most people that are people who are really tech savvy. Because one of the things in that article they also say is you need someone in your group who knows enough that when you farm out a lot of the work, they know if they're being BS'd or not.
Right. So you can't get lied to by somebody overseas that's doing all the work and says they're doing all the work and they 3 years
but
later.
But they can't do this and they can only do that. You need someone that can kind of ferret that out.
Let's start with Gary, who's already on the line. And he apparently launched an app a month ago. Is that right, Gary?
Yeah, that's what happened.
All right,
congratulations.
Congratulations, first of all. This guy says it should take 3 years. How long did it take you?
It took 10 months, and it was supposed to I actually work at the show South Park, and I started it with a couple guys from there. And, you make South Park in 6 days, and then it took us 10 months to make an app.
And you guys, I imagine, are pretty tech savvy, right?
Yeah, we have a couple guys. I mean, the artists, developers, they're all pretty talented. And then all of a sudden, let's release it in November. And then March comes around and we're not ready yet.
And you guys, I imagine, are pretty tech savvy, right?
Yeah, we have a couple guys. I mean, It's kind of frustrating.
Gary, what was the hardest part?
Getting the artist to be happy with what he's doing.
Oh,
that's
really?
The hardest part.
Getting the artist to be happy with what he's doing.
He's his own, you know, worst critic.
Oh, I gotcha.
And so he would call and go, I can't do it. I just don't like it. Don't like it.
Yeah. He's like, you don't want to release it. And, you know, everybody thinks it's beautiful except for him.
What's it called?
Yeah, what's the name of it?
It's called Feast or Famine.
Feast or Famine.
And we have a light version coming out in, next week and another full version. So we're doing, like, updates all the time. It's just, it's a pain. You think you can make $1 million right away, and it's just totally not the case.
A, it seems easy. B, it seems easy to make a lot of money. Neither of those is the case.
No, not at all.
All right, good times.
All right.
Thank you for
good
the
luck.
Call, Gary. 1-800-520-1067 if you have had success or failure. Talking about building apps and how it seems like it should be very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem like it would take much work. A month or two.
Shouldn't be too expensive, right?
6 months, you should be making money.
Uh-huh.
It's not that way at all, apparently. There's an article online saying it takes 3 years for the average app, some of which fail.
A lot of which fail.
Most of which fail, which is crazy to think that it actually takes that long. Let's talk to Travis. Hello, Travis.
How's it going, people?
Good.
Good. You came up with an app.
Yes, I did. I wanted to build an app that would help my coworkers and myself out. So what I did is I just built a simple app that had all of our schedules that we could look at on our phones every week, and it'd get updated every week, and we wouldn't have to call into to work and
is it
all the hassle.
Is it available in the App Store, or is it just something for you and your friends?
The App Store. I took it down out of the App Store once I got a new job, but it was up there for 5 years.
No kidding.
How did you do it, Travis?
I'm a software engineering major. And once I graduated and got a job, I took it down. But I just wanted to start simple, mm-hmm. and it eventually blossomed into this more complex thing that lots and lots of people started using.
How long did it take you to come up with?
It took me about 3 months to come up with.
Bastard.
Yeah, I'm
breaking all the rules.
Yeah.
Did you make dough?
Nope.
All right.
I put it up there for free. But
if you put it up for free, can't you get advertising on it?
Yeah, but I don't want to like advertise to my coworkers and myself.
Yeah, it was just for where he worked.
Yeah.
All right.
But cool. Eventually, it blossomed. So, like, it turned into this whole complex thing for my entire workplace. And so customers and my coworkers started using it. It was pretty cool.
All right.
I'm impressed.
All right. You're ahead of the class. Thank you, Travis. Appreciate it. Let's go to Justin, who worked on a music app. Hi, Justin.
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa.
Hi there, Justin.
Well, what's your app? What did you try to create?
I've actually finished it, but it was a... It's a music advertising app that integrates like Pandora or Spotify.
Okay.
And I thought it'd be pretty easy to get in. I've had business forever, and I thought, you know, this is a great idea. People are making cash. Well, it's been 5 years, and I spent over $100,000, and I just barely freaking finished the damn thing.
Oh, my God. 5 years. $100,000. And you've not made a penny?
No, but we finally, last week, we had meetings up in Mountain View with some advertising people up there, and they're looking about integrating it. And with their software, but it just seemed like everything that I did, I was unlike Travis doing it simple. I went to the top right away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everything we hit at roadblocks, it was like you couldn't use it while the phone was working. You couldn't use it while the maps were going. And it was just ridiculous.
Wow. That sounds like a very frustrating process. It doesn't seem like it would be that hard, but 5 years and you haven't made any money on it.
Well, they're just going to hopefully. Do you think you'll get your money back, Justin?
Yeah, I think so. And if not, it was a good experience, I guess. But I had people develop it for me, too, like in India and here in the States. And it just turned out to be this massive bazaar.
It doesn't sound fun.
I'm impressed that you stuck with it for 5 years.
Well, I had to because my wife didn't think I was going to finish it.
Yeah,
that was it. So it's just to show her.
Yeah.
Nice work, Justin.
Good luck. I hope it works out.
He spent $100,000 just to show his wife that he would finish it. Let's go to Juan. Hello, Juan.
Hello.
You made an app?
Hi there.
Yes, myself and two other guys, we did something for fun, and we created a game mm-hmm. for the iPhone.
A game, okay. And when did it come out? Did it come out?
Yes, it's been out in the App Store since October 2012, so about, I think, 6 months now.
How much money have you made?
Probably about... say $100.
What do you think you spent to make it one?
Personally, we didn't spend any money, but it was all three of our times over the period of 8 months, just working over weekends, long hours. So if you count that as a real job, probably over like $100,000.
Wow, that's crazy expensive.
How hard is it to get it noticed?
That's the hardest part. Just the advertisement, getting the right people to see it, that's the hardest part. If you don't have a lot of money, like the previous caller, you're pretty much, it's just going to be one app in a sea of millions. So.
Well, tell us the name of it, Juan.
The name is called Word Fiends, and it's a mix between Words with Friends and Tetris. And it's pretty fun. You should check it out.
Well, that sounds kind of cool.
That's not my kind of thing. All right. Thank you, Juan.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks bye-bye. For the call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Kevin Abicha. 852. Nicely done. Ralph is here. Time for a look at the showbiz. What's going on, Ralph?
Not enough songs that have whistling about shooting kids. Isn't that a bigger genre?
That is a happy little song about shooting kids.
Sure is. All right, let's talk about showbiz news. But before I do, I've got more wonderful... tickets to give away. Wonderful. Hear what I did there?
Are you giving away for WonderCon?
WonderCon! Con! I love this event. It's March 29th through the 31st at Anaheim Convention Center. WonderCon from the people who bring you Comic-Con down in San Diego. They also bring you WonderCon closer to home in Anaheim. You can check it out. 3 days of just magic. 3 days of comic books and sci-fi and fantasy and anime and cosplay and, oh, sweet Jesus, it's a good time.
Take it easy.
If you'd like to go, you can get more information and tickets at www.comic-con.org. Or you can just call in right now, 1-800-520-1067. I've got two pair of 3 day passes for the 26th annual WonderCon in Anaheim. That means you get to go to all 3 days. You don't miss a thing. Courtesy of those of us here at the Kevin and Bean Show and K-Rock. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Since it's the 26th annual WonderCon, let's make it callers number 26 and 27. Two winners will get a pair of 3 day passes to attend Comic-Con. And all you ladies going dressed as Wonder Woman this year, make sure to send Uncle Ralph your photos, because I want to see some photos.
That creepy fast.
Some photos of the cosplay. I enjoyed the cosplay.
Do they have to send it to Uncle Ralph?
No, they just send it to Ralph at krock.com. Or if you're Power Girl, or if you're Black Cat, or Catwoman, or who else could you be? Black Canary. I'd love to see a Black Canary. Maybe you're Huntress.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
I'm just saying.
You are just saying.
And from a man who's been going to comic book conventions for many, many years, let me just say, the quality of women that go to Comic-Cons now is just head and shoulders, leaps and bounds beyond anything in our wildest imagination, say, oh, I don't know, 20 years ago.
Keyword there now.
It's remarkable, the uptick in attractive women who attend these Comic-Cons now. It's a whole new generation of hot geek girl that was unknown, unthought of. Previously.
Either didn't exist or didn't want to let anyone know that they existed.
You never saw the hot girls at the Comic-Cons years ago. And now it's tons of them, and they're all wearing the sexy comic book costumes.
Bitchin'.
And it's bitchin'. That's what it is.
We gotta bring back bitchin'.
We do have to bring back bitchin'. Spectacular. I wonder why that is. I wonder why that phenomenon is a recent...
I think it probably started with models, don't you? Don't you think, like, the company started hiring models, and then...
I guess.
It's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and more women means hotter women.
Yeah. I think it's just that chicks realize how hot geeks are. So all the hot chicks are after the geeks now. They just want a piece of us.
You think that's what's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Just let them believe that.
I don't think so.
No way. Not ever.
Linda Lohan was the victim of a inappropriate shot, I think, by Justin Bieber and in yesterday's Instagram post. I don't know what he's doing taking shots at her for.
I don't either.
I've never heard her say a bad thing about him, unlike everyone else I know, who has nothing but bad to say about Justin Bieber. He was defending himself in his usual bitchy way about the fact that he doesn't like the press he's getting these days, and he calls it lies. I'm tired of all these lies about me in the press.
Well, it was a lie that he went on stage 2 hours late in England?
It's true.
That was true?
I guess there have been some recent stories that he's in rehab. He's not in rehab. He's still guzzling the scissorp. He hasn't put it down yet. But he says the reason everyone's saying all these things about him is because, and I quote, because I'm 19, and it must be scary to some people to think that this is just the beginning. First of all, we don't begrudge anyone success if we think they're talented and deserve it, Justin.
More power to them.
More power to them. I don't think you are all that talented. Yeah, I think you're acting like a douchebag.
That is for sure.
And that may be the reason we don't like you. And then he took a shot at Lindsay Lohan by saying, for apparently no reason, that he's nothing like the troubled actress. And if you want proof, his quote, look at her 2012 tax statements. Booyah!
Wow.
Yeah. I make more money than her, so I'm better than her.
That's a whole nother level of douchebaggery.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
It is now.
All right.
He is just a Charlie Sheen in the making.
He's turning it on, isn't he?
He really is. He's just building it up and building it up, building it up, so that the fall from grace, the spiral, the out of control lunacy that's about his life is about to become is just going to be that much sweeter. And I can't wait.
Other people handle that kind of stuff eloquently. Not him. He deserves every bit of hate he's getting.
Not a debate. A debate yesterday on the internet about what caused this outcome. Some people said he needs a nap. Others said it was his female hormones kicking in. So we'll have to wait and see. If he ever grows a hair in his face, then we'll know.
Everything will change.
We'll know what the difference is. NBC announced yesterday that the TV show Smash, which some people here on the TV on the radio show like, me and Lisa.
Yep.
Has been moved from Thursday nights to Saturday nights beginning April 6th.
Well, that is the death knell, isn't it?
It is, but it's also bad news because it means I can't go to April Foolishness because I have to be sitting at home watching Smash now, which is even more disappointing to me personally.
That's so funny. Like it's still going to be on then.
How dare you?
Saturday.
It's going to have a resurgence. People are going to wake up and say, oh, Smash, what was I thinking
they
not
didn't
watching
even,
Smash?
They didn't even take the step down one level to Friday night. They went right to Saturday.
Ratings are down 25% from his first season, so does not bode well for my lovely Catherine McPhee and company. NBC has also decided to expand Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice to 2 hours beginning April the 14th. So for those of you who are not watching Celebrity Apprentice for 1 hour, we can now not watch for 2 hours.
That would be me.
Frees up a little bit more time for you.
Isn't that also when they're starting to narrow down the competitors so that there are fewer people?
Yeah, so there's less storyline and more time to fill.
It's weird.
Which is great news. Another TV alert, Sunday night on HBO. I'm sure it'll be rerun, but you may want to catch it when it first airs. Phil Spector, the HBO movie about the murder trial of Phil Spector, who was found guilty of murdering actress Lana Clarkson. Al Pacino stars as Phil Spector. I can only imagine the scenery chewing that's going to go on with Al Pacino playing lunatic music producer Phil Spector in a courtroom. Oh, it's going to be awesome. Oh, I didn't kill him! Ooh, look at my hair. What's with my hair? If he wins an Emmy for this, we're all in trouble because he will do 20 minutes on the hair and makeup guys.
Yes, he will.
Made him look like Phil Spector.
No one gives a better acceptance speech than Al Pacino.
And Chelsea Handler continues to show off her extensive charm school education in Aspen, Colorado. This week, the New York Post reports that while dining with her boyfriend, Andre Balaz, he's the guy who owns a million hotels and got more money than God. What's he doing with her? With that hatchet face, I have no idea. She was also having brunch with Whitney Cummings, her comic girlfriend. They were dining, guzzling the champagne, and they thought it would be hilarious to start throwing bread at a group of older men in their 60s who were trying to peacefully enjoy their own brunch.
That's the alcohol talking right there.
Yeah. You know, usually I'm an advocate of reasonable gun control, but it would have been awesome if one of those old dudes had just pulled out a gun and just ventilated her. Just ventilated her. Just giant, gaping, sucking chest wounds. I threw a roll at you. I threw bullets at you. I win. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dee Snider of Twisted Sisters, 58 years old today. Fabio, you know, anybody know Fabio's last name? A little trivia question. Anybody know Fabio's last name?
No, I don't. Fabio? No. Couldn't tell you.
Anybody? No guesses?
Smith?
Kleinberg. No, I'm kidding. It's Lanzoni. Fabio Lanzoni.
Oh, that's a name.
That is the name of a beautiful man and a beautiful model.
Has he been doing anything in the last 10 years?
I have not seen him around and about. I think that goose incident really really shook him up. I think he's been recovering from that goose in the face. Look, if you're riding a roller coaster and a goose hits you in the face,
yeah,
that's going to stick with you. That's going to create some phobias, I think. I might not leave the house either. You're not safe from a goose. What are you safe from?
Yeah, you really don't expect the goose to the face.
Fabio's 54 today. Terrence Trent D'Arby is 51. Brent Michaels of Poison turns 50. Kim Raver from Grey's Anatomy in 24 is 44 years old. Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray is 45. Mark Hoppus turns 41. Eva Longoria is 38, as is Will.i.am of Black Eyed Peas. Joseph Hahn of Linkin Park is 36. Kellen Lutz from Twilight is 28. Our very own Psycho Mike Catherwood turns 34 years old today. And singer Rockwell is 49. Rockwell's 49. I always feel like
somebody's watching me. Sounds a lot like Michael Jackson. And I love the
rocks. Oh, oh, oh. I always feel like somebody's watching
me. Tell me, is it just a trap? How did he get Michael Jackson on his song?
Well, it turns out that song. Rockwell, if I'm not mistaken,
is one of the Jackson brothers?
No, is either the son or nephew of Motown founder Berry Gordy. Berry pulled some strings, reached out, and asked Michael to do a favor for him and sing backup on his relative's record. And that was Rockwell's only number one hit because everyone thought it was a Michael Jackson. So he's 49 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Time for the final look at the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
Before I get to Showbiz News, a few heads up. I want to repeat tomorrow, if you'd like to go to the Big Brother casting call, if you'd like to be on Big Brother, if you feel you're outgoing, if you're competitive, well, let's face it, if you're obnoxious. Anyone live inside a house with other obnoxious people while cameras record you 24/7?
Perfect for you.
You could win $500,000, which would make you a rich asshole as opposed to just an asshole. Here's what you do. Open casting call for Big Brother tomorrow, Saturday, March the 16th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at CBS Radford Studios, located at 4200 Radford Avenue in Studio City, right at Radford and Ventura. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., you can audition for Big Brother. You can be on television. Also, King Mexico told me that there are some single tickets available still for April Foolishness. That will likely change in the next couple hours. So if you want to buy your tickets for April Foolishness, I recommend you do it right now. Or, as my friend Kevin Ryder would say, do we have that new moment with Kevin?
No, don't think. Can we play?
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Kevin Abid's April Foolishness 2013. Bill Burr will be there. There are a few single tickets available, I think, still. If you want to go to Ticketmaster and check it out, I would do that quickly rather than lately.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Do it quickly rather than lately.
That's my move.
That's what we say. Getting the t-shirts made up. I wasn't going to play that. I was going to take the top road. I said, it's Friday. Let's send everybody out with a little something.
That's great.
Khloe Kardashian in the news. We found out that she was just as unhappy to be the host of The X Factor as we were to watch her.
She hated it?
In the upcoming episode of Courtney and Kim Take Miami on Sunday, Khloe tells the camera that she is very nervous, too nervous, about being the host of The X Factor. And her plan was to fake a heart attack so that she could get out of doing the show. To which I say, why fake it?
Why fake it?
Just have a heart attack and get out of all shows.
Is somebody forcing her to do that against her will?
No. She was just nervous. Perhaps she knew she was just woefully untalented and not the proper choice for that. So, sure, she could have turned down the gig.
Or faked a heart attack.
But you know what happens in the Kardashian family if you turn down a gig?
Yeah, true.
Kris gets out the belt.
Right.
And you don't want to face Kris with the belt. She will bring out the Cat O' Nine Tails lash and start working you over until you bring home that fat paycheck. So she didn't have a choice, I'm guessing. Wanted to fake a heart attack so that she wouldn't have to go to work. Has she ever heard of the intestinal bug? There's lesser, you know, medical emergencies that you can use as an excuse to get out of work.
Hey, you sort of need to cover
cardiac
arrest. An actual cover story
pretty far down there in the list before I get to that one. I don't know if it's happened yet, but everyone that Jennifer Aniston knows has been told to keep their cell phones close. Rumor has it, everyone's just waiting for that call from Jen that her wedding is imminent. Today, tomorrow, sometime this weekend, rumors are that she will be marrying her boyfriend Justin Theroux. And according to RadarOnline.com, the orders have been given out to friends and family of the couple that they may have to drop everything if they want to attend the wedding because they're just gonna drop the boom.
That's such a great excuse to not go to a wedding.
I'll tell you something.
Oh, I missed the text.
End up with some crappy presents that way. Because if you tell me, oh, come now, we're getting married, I'm driving to AMPM, and whatever I see on the rack there near the register while I'm picking up a pack of smokes, that's what you're getting. It's likely going to be a hat of some kind, a trucker hat.
Keep on trucking.
That's right. It says, beer me, or something like that. That's what you're going to get. So that's the risk you run. I'm sure talentless...
What just happened?
Girl, Chelsea Handler. I almost was going to say what I usually say about Chelsea Handler.
Oh, yeah, you can't say
during that. My podcast, but I can't say that.
Yes.
She's good. She'll be at the wedding, I'm sure, because Jennifer Aniston and Chelsea are BFFs. She was in the New York Post this morning. They talked about a story where she was in Aspen, Colorado with her boyfriend and another female friend, and they were doing brunch at a local restaurant and just drinking the champagne, just boozing.
Right from the bottle?
Right from the bottle. And they made a scene by throwing bread at a group of elderly gentlemen in their 60s. They thought it'd be hilarious to throw bread at other diners.
Well, that is beyond childish.
Man, what's it going to take this one out? We got to get the SEAL Team 6 back together again. Are those guys back together
Double
again?
Tap? I don't know. I think they're always together.
Was that their last album? Was that their last album, or are they going to reunite?
They're not a music group.
Oh, really?
No.
I thought I saw the SEAL Team 6, the Troub.
I don't think so.
I didn't?
I don't think you saw them anywhere. No. You don't see them, man. It's just Double Tap.
Mandy Moore, lovely and talented actress. She has got a new gig. She's just been cast in a new CBS drama called The Advocates, where she plays a lawyer who works on behalf of victims of crimes along with an ex-con. It's also trying to right their wrongs. It sounds like a good show to me until I saw the name of her co-star, which is a gentleman named Benjamin McKenzie, which fills me with fear and dread because he's already got a gig. It's called Southland.
Yeah.
It's a good gig, too.
Get your paws off him, CBS. He's busy on TNT.
He can do both, maybe.
You know, I'm hearing bad things.
I know.
I read in the New York Times today that... the ratings are the lowest they've ever been for Southland.
That's unacceptable.
So the fifth season may be the last for Southland. And that just makes me sad because I love that show so much.
One of the best cop dramas of all time, I think.
It really is. The writing and the acting on that show is consistently excellent. And I, for one, will miss it if it goes away. I don't know what to do. NBC wouldn't keep it on. And then TNT rescued it. And now TNT's struggling with it, so... Yeah, sure.
Meanwhile, are we wrong?
Meanwhile,
is it not that
Rizzoli and Isles is pulling in 5 million people a week, whatever effing show they got there on TNT. What's wrong with people? And lastly, Gerard Butler has finally admitted that he did indeed sleep with Brandy Glanville of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Now, Lisa, I'm just turning to you for help.
Okay.
Is she the one that was married to the guy who married a puffy eye? Country singer girl? Is Brandy Glanville the ex of the guy who...
Oh,
Who married Leanne Rimes? Is that the connection here?
I don't know.
Why is this woman famous?
That name
famous?
Is not...
Anyway, she's on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And she famously told the press, oh yeah, I had sex with Gerard Butler, and he was awesome. And Gerard Butler was asked immediately after that by a paparazzo, what do you think? Brandy Glanville said she slept with you, and he said, who's Brandy Glanville? He had no idea who she was. Turns out that Gerard Butler now has put two and two together and said, oh, that girl? Yes, yes.
I
wrecked that girl.
Yeah.
But he explains that he didn't know her name after the fact. She came up to him at a beach party and said, you wanna? And he said, sure. And they had an evening of fleeting passion. Sounds like an afternoon, maybe, of fleeting passion. And when presented with the name Brandy Glanville, it just didn't ring any bells.
Well, what are you going to do?
He
said, probably happens to him a lot.
After he saw who was saying it, he said, oh, now Brandy, yes, that sounds familiar. I think her name was Brandy. I had no idea what the last name was. Certainly didn't know that she was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I did not know she was a pseudo-celebrity. So he has since admitted to, yes, sleeping with her and apologizing to her for forgetting her name. So he's a sweetheart. They should have shown him a photo of her vagina or something. This girl. You know this girl? Oh, sure. Brandy.
Say so?
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah, it was at a beach party. Look at all the sand. I know her. I recognize her. Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. March the 15th. Dee Snider of Twisted Sisters, 58 years old. Today, Fabio, legendary model and actor. 54 years old. Terrence Trent Darby's 51. Brett Michaels from Poison turns 50. Mark McGrath of Sugar Ray fame is 45 years old. Kim Raver from Grey's Anatomy in 24 is 44. Mark Hoppus of Blink 182 is 41. Eva Longoria turns 38. Will I Am of Black Eyed Peas is also 38. DJ Joseph Kahn of Linkin Park is 36 years old. Kellen Lutz of the Twilight Films is 28. And our very own Psycho Mike Catherwood celebrates his 34th birthday. However, the reason we celebrate the day is the birth of singer Rockwell. Come on! I always feel like
somebody's watching me. And I have no pride. This is why we celebrate?
Oh, whoa, whoa. Yeah. I always feel
like that sounds like Michael Jackson.
Well, Michael is singing the chorus. Tell me, is it just a dream? That's Rockwell right there.
Tell me, is it just a dream?
Yeah.
That was him?
I'm in the shower and they're watching me. It's a weird, weird song, but catchy nonetheless. What was going on over there with you two when I was trying to get that song? What was happening?
Very
I told
busy.
Guys playing grab ass over there and we're trying to get a radio show on the air.
I told Beer Mug that he needs to get to the show close quick because we need to sing Don Bogart.
Right.
And he had the song ready.
Good for him.
Okay, so then you went to Psycho Mike, and I thought that was last. So I was like, go to the Don Bogart. So he went to Don Bogart, and you went back for
the last. Whenever I have a song for somebody, I always use the last birthday slot to put that in so we can just go from the song out of it into the close.
It was my fault, but it's fun to watch him scramble. It's really good times.
You have done the impossible this week. You have made me miss a beam. I didn't think that was possible.
That hurts.
I'm looking forward to my
how
giant gangly friend coming back on Monday.
Dare you.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show this week.
Time to say goodnight. We'll see you at the Morongo Casino tonight for the Blackjack tournament.
Remember, always hit on 15s and split sevens.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over. Roll another one, just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit, and I need another hit. Roll. Just like